storyline. We're all a part of one, hemmed into the pages of a story long begun long ago, when chapters were white, unscathed by strokes and blots, and plots were only thoughts, desires to be wrought by the hand who holds the pen, the stars, and the human heart. So my story begins. Alicia Louise Wright, 1 minute past midnight, held by a carpenter's hand, a Father's Day gift of 1990. Let the zip code stroll through the corn maze, sheep pen, summer days, tornado wind, a eureka. I found it dot on a map that forms presidents like Reagan to become just that something, someone full of destiny and born to embrace history. But there was no amen said at my family dinner. No calloused knees shouting surrender until the word, his word, found a rooting in that central Illinois soil of my heart. And any page is good to start a new story. So page 16. That marked it. That sparked it. Now cue the scene change. Cue the plot twist. The rearrange. The life given over in divine exchange. Now could it be that the man who was pinned to that tree is a man who hovered over the seas, over the deep, and said, "Let there be light." I was convinced. A new creation, new location, no deviation from my Father. He set a seal to dwell within. And oh, I was shaken. Physically, uncontrollably, for days, there was no record from my lips until that moment of such boldness and infilling of the Acts chapter 2, tongues of fire, upper room, manifest, now presumed in, dwelling Christ. He healed my knee miraculously, and now my mind unto eternity. But the enemy started throwing blades at me, dislocating my hip, scalping my head, literally doing anything he could to detour and squander a life set apart. But it didn't work. I didn't wander. Opposition made me stronger. And one night, a week of water as my meals, hunger rose for God, for encounter and zeal to consume. So resume on with the American dream. What torture, I don't care. Well, I said, as long as I may be your partner, God, just prove that you hear me. He paused not at all. Out of my mouth, the words I recall. Shemayah Satya, Shemayah Satya, Shemayah Satya, Shemayah Satya, over and over and over. Shemayah came to find, spoken in Hebrew, God's native word. This Old Testament prophet's name means Yahweh has heard. He says what he means what he says. Turns out Satya is Hindi for becoming his partner. The rest of my days, now down a road to the nations with worship and prayer, let it mingle with missions and not become rare to hear my favorite man's name known and honored to the ends of the earth. Encounter, encounter will tell of his worth. So I'll scribble down these stories on parchment pieces. I'll tangle the five-letter name of names into the creases to hasten my king, a reward for his suffering, a grandeur returning after a selfless blood offering, overcoming and restoring all love. So, this is history, the ancient mystery told through the word of our testimony.
So, that is my wife. Man, I married that. Isn't that awesome? So, that's her testimony, and so she, at 16 years old, one of her aunts invited her to church at a local Methodist church. She grew up in Eureka. So that's where Ronald Reagan went to college. And so it's like the home of Ronald Reagan. And so she grew up on a sheep farm. Her parents did not know Christ. And her aunt took her to church. And she heard that Jesus is God at 16 years old. And she was like, what? He's God? What? And yeah, the Lord just brought people in her life that took her in and just discipled her. And when she was finishing college, she wanted to do something for the Lord. She's like, God, I don't care what I do as long as, you know, I do something with you. And so I've never heard this, but she started speaking, I guess, in tongues, or like, and it was, she Googled it, and what she was saying was Shemaiah Satya, and she found out that it was like an Old Testament prophet, you know, which said, God has heard. And then partner, what, Hindi, she was speaking Satya, which means partner in Hindi. It's a language in India, right? It's 600,000 people speak Hindi in the world's a top five language. So she's shocked, right? A girl that didn't grow up in church. And I'm just sharing this because I honestly look at my wife and I think she's a miracle. Because sometimes, especially for some of you who are Christian, some of you might not be Christian because I know people come to church sometimes and they're not. I just want to encourage you guys that the Lord is at work. You know, some of you might be discouraged that, you know, God is not moving, or I'm still struggling with the same things I struggled with yesterday. I don't see examples and testimonies of God's goodness. But I don't have to look far. I look at my wife's story, and I know that if it could just be inviting someone to church, and that I always have her share first, because the first thing I want to share is that even if you're shy, what you could do is be like her, you know, Aunt Joy. Her Aunt Joy did not lead her to the Lord. She just invited her to church. And she went to the youth group and heard about Jesus and gave her life to the Lord. She baptized her mother and her sister. You know, we're still working on the dad, you know. Man, you know, he's a carpenter, works, it's rough, you know. You know the language. So the thing is, I'm going to just share a little bit. You can go to the slides. I'm going to do a little bit of what we do. And I'm going to do it as a little pitch, you know, how I would go, you know, if I'm in a board meeting, okay. You guys will be the businessmen and women that I have to stand before. All of you will be my potential people, why should we do what we do? So India is the largest country in the world, and we are missionaries there. And one of the challenges has been, how do I reach these people, right? They eat different things, they speak different things. And so I'm going to share a little bit about that. So you could bring the first slide. Okay, the world we grew up in. So when I first came to America, okay, it was completely different, okay? It was right before 9/11. First of all, I thought the end times had already come. I don't know if you guys remember that, but I remember people coming to my school, people coming getting their kids because, you know, before Pearl Harbor, America had not been attacked on their own soil, right? So look at me, you know, America, the promised land. I come here, I'm living with them. Oh, man, a month later, America gets hit. If you guys remember, the biggest thing at that time was anthrax. Do you guys remember anthrax? We were afraid to open our letters. Oh, man, when those towers got hit, we thought America's falling. We didn't know when another one was going to hit. If you guys remember, it was like one hit, another 20 minutes, another one hit. Then you hear the news. You know, it's not. We didn't have social media then, okay? So everything is through ABC. So you're like, oh, no, are we going to get hit? And we lived in West Virginia. There's like a place called DuPont. It's like a chemical plant. So we thought West Virginia was going to get hit as well. So there was a lot of fear. But all that to say, it was like a totally different world. So you guys remember the fatback TVs. Everyone has flat screens. But if you guys remember, you know, we didn't have Netflix. We didn't have streaming. So everything was completely different, right? If you guys remember, you had to remember your phone number. You guys probably still remember the phone number, you know, that you had when you were a kid, right? But if you ask my wife's number now, like, I still struggle. I'm like, 579. But back in the day, you had probably your parents' number. Well, it was the same number as yours, you know? There were no cell phones. So all five of you, all six of you had the same phone number. So everything was completely different. If you guys remember, if we were going to take a trip, right, to Florida, we would go to MapQuest. Anyone remember MapQuest? Okay, MapQuest, you type in the address, right? It would give you the instructions. You would print it off. Now we have to go back. Okay, you needed a co-driver. I remember Josh. They know Josh. Josh is like, so Dennis and there was another guy, Chuck, and he had a son called Josh. And we went to the beach, okay, to Nagset, South Carolina, North Carolina, I don't know which one. But we go to the beach, we're coming back. So I'm sleepy. I'm like falling asleep, and he's just hitting me because those days, your co-driver, you know, had to remember to like read the instructions. hey, this exit is coming up. You have to read the markers. Hey, it's exit 97. Exit 105 is coming up. You have to remember to turn. You had to read. Now we have everything on the phone, right? So we don't even know where we're going, right? But back in the day, you had a piece of paper. You had to memorize where you're going and what you're doing. Completely different times. You guys remember Garmin? You know, we called it GPS. Because it was GPS. It was the only thing that we had. And so it's completely different time. Torches. Does anyone even have a flashlight anymore? Yeah, you guys. Yeah, see, these guys are, yes, I still keep it, you know? I tell you what, if the world goes to crap, you know, you guys might survive. Because you guys still have survival things. But everything now is on here. Right? Communication. Everything. Like our calendars. Anyone still have hand calendars on the wall? Everything now, you know, Alicia's parents still write on the calendar, hey, this is birthday. Like when they get a new calendar, they fill it out every year. Okay, they put, this is like the birthday, this is this. This is when this person died. I don't know, that's like something I make fun of her mother. She literally puts everyone's deaths as well in the family. So those things have changed because of this. Right? We have our calendars, our watches, our everything, our torch. And Alicia's dad is a contractor. He does carpentry, and so he does cement work sometimes. And you can even use this, and you can check how level something is. Isn't that crazy? Okay, Alicia likes curtains. She changes them every other month, but that's another thing. So she's always like, hey, Steven, she'll give me her phone. She has this thing where I can measure how long that is. You know, I just have to point it, pin it, and then come over here, pin it, and he can tell me how long that is. The times have completely changed, right? But a lot of our missions work and the way we reach people hasn't changed. And that's where, like, the Lord started to give us a lot of wisdom. When we went to India, we were like, man, there's 1.4 billion people. You could bring up the India stats. So in India, when you look at it, 1.4 billion people. That's crazy. Right? When you think about it, how are you going to reach all those people? Right? Only 2.4% Christian. So if God was to send you to India, you have the largest country in the world, 1.4 billion people, only 2%, 2.4%, about 40 million people out of 1.4 billion are Christian. How do you reach them? Like, you need a whole army. You need a miracle, correct? And then the other thing that, you know, the reason we ask for prayer is because we don't think we're that crazy smart. But you look at Thomas, you know, he went to India, that walked with Jesus, doubting Thomas, who didn't believe that Jesus, you know, it was Jesus. So he went to India. Amy Carmichael, if you guys know missionaries, Amy Carmichael. William Carey, he's called the father of modern missions. So he started a university. He started the printing press in India. And back in the day, missionaries were sent like the military. You know how you deploy men to go fight, right? And now, of course, women go as well. But that's how they did missions. The husbands, the preachers would go to a nation, and the wife and kids would stay in England or somewhere. So, I mean, they had great sacrifice, but that guy was a genius. William Carey started a university, translated the Bible there into 40 languages. There's 120 main languages. In their constitution in India, 22 languages. So there's a lot of challenges. Because it's like going to, right? I mean, Indiana. You guys would speak Indiana, okay? You go to Illinois, where Alicia's family is from, they speak Illini, right? You go to Ohio, they speak Ohio. So imagine if that's how America was. And imagine you have to reach people, right? So you have to learn a new language every time you cross a border. Isn't that crazy? So that's also one of the reasons, like, it's been so hard to break into India, because here in America, if you have English, maybe a little bit, you know, como estas, you could reach America, you know? Like, you could reach America with just a little bit of Spanish, and a lot of Spanish, you know, can be translated easily, right? We have the resources here, but there's no resources there, so it's a bit challenging. So we read this scripture in Habakkuk 2:14. It says that the earth will be filled. This is the prophetic promise that the earth will be filled, right, with the knowledge of God as the waters cover the seas. And 2 years ago, I was like, man, you know, I'd actually worked with this church, and we did their social media, And they grew. They went from about 500 people. I mean, it's India, so every church is like huge. Not all of them, but some of them are house churches. But he was like, hey, I want to see 1,000 churches planted. He was like a big dreamer. He had been trained in America and he went back. And so he contacted me. He's like, hey, Stephen, can you help me? Can you help my church grow? Because we are wanting to reach our city. I was like, well, you know, let's do social media. Let's take your sermon. Because you have to think about it. Right now, I'm using a microphone. Right? The way I explain the digital world or social media, I know you guys do stuff on YouTube. I think I'm supposed to stand here. I just realized it's not moving. YouTube, like whoever's watching on YouTube is probably just watching a piano, right? Oh man. It's all right? Okay, good. So the way I tell people about social media or just digital world is like this microphone. Right? If I am speaking without a microphone, I have to speak really loud. I have to, you know, from my gut, right? I have to say, hey, my name is Stephen. You know what I mean? I'll get tired fast, right? I'll get tired fast. I'll get winded. I'll need a little more water. I'll need more resources to keep my flesh, you know, going. So with a microphone and speakers, they do the amplification for me. I can reach more people in bigger rooms, even an auditorium, if we get more speakers, correct? So the same way with social media, like I started talking to these pastors in India, I'm like, hey, we have 1.4 billion people to reach. We have 22 official languages in India. So if we are able to take these sermons, right, we believe that the word of God is powerful, it changes lives, it transforms people. Why don't we take the sermons that are being preached, put it on YouTube as you guys are doing, take small clips and start posting them? And so we did that. And the church now is like a 2,000. Like social media went from 5,000. It's like close to 100,000 right now. And we saw crazy growth. And we were like, man, we need to give this to pastors because I can learn all these languages. But there's already pastors who've already been called. God is already a move all over the state. All these 40 million people. We already have believers. We don't have to invent the wheel. We can use what God is already doing. Amen? So go to the next slide. The other thing is that us as old people, okay, I saw someone who's young. They took a PDF and copied something on it, and I was flabbergasted. I was like, well, you could do that? So even though I turned 38 yesterday, and so I'm a millennial, but even when I hang out with 20-year-olds or 18-year-olds, I'm shocked. I think I'm like savvy. I think I know the internet. I think I know because, you know, it came during our time. I remember touching the first, you know, iPhone and just, wow, FaceTime. You guys remember FaceTime? Dude, people in Africa still think it's witchcraft, okay? Dude, I'm dead serious. Dude, it's one of the fun things about doing missions is that thinking of like primitive, like they don't understand like some of the science or technology. So they'll say, hey, these things, witchcraft, because they'll say, hey, look, they'll take a pen and they touch the screen. They're like, look, it's not moving. It takes something with blood. You know, so they just come up with all kinds of theories, how technology is witchcraft. And, you know, because your finger has to have blood in it for it to touch and to move. And if you have like a pen or something that has no flesh or... So in a sense, I don't even know why I went there. But all that to say is that some of us who are older, we have limitations, right? Like to understand, because we grew up in a world where, I mean, just to get from here to, you know, Chicago, like we were doing MapQuest. For them, they understand this whole world. So we were like, hey, we would talk to the pastors. We're like, hey, send us your young people, right? And so we would train some of the young 20s, youth groups, and we got them engaged in like evangelism, digital evangelism. How can we take the vision of this church? We want to reach this whole city. How do we take the sermons and spread them out? And so they're I would tell the pastors, hey, they're born with screens. Like, I mean, for them, they don't remember the things I was talking about. They don't remember fatback TVs. You don't, black and white television. They don't remember, you know, oh man, dial up. Connie used to yell at me because I've just been on the computer all day, you know. But they don't remember, like, you know, and someone calls. You guys remember that. You know, you'd yell, hey, get off the internet. I have a call coming in. You guys remember that? See, like, the 20-year-olds are like, what's that? That's the thing. They were born with screens. They were born with these phones that we, you know, we have now. They're raised online. They understand the online world. I mean, a lot of even their learning. I mean, ChatGPT, don't even get me going there. You know, and then, you know, they're ready to reach their world. Like, we can fight always against, like, the things that are happening. I mean, they're in it. So why don't we teach them how to use it to reach their generation for Christ? Amen? So then the next slide. So these are some of the students that we work with in some of our schools. So our work so far, so we do media schools. We take some of these people, we train them in media, you know, the churches and like the pastors, so that they're media savvy. And then we have workshops. And the workshops is like we come to our church, you know, in India, and we'll help them, whether it's like web streaming. You guys are already doing it. Sometimes we help them understand, hey, what cameras to use? How can you web stream like microphones and some of these? Just set up some of the technology stuff so that they're able to just take the sermon. Now it's the microphone, right? YouTube becomes a new microphone. No one back in the day, no one ever said, oh, the microphone is the devil. You know what I mean? Because sometimes as Christians, we don't use the new resources to reach people. We are not, dude, we have to be so passionate. Because like there's people going to a Christless eternity and they're hungry. They would say yes, just like her. Someone had to invite her to church, right? So like I said, like my first challenge is for all of you to invite one person to church. Change one person's life. Amen? And so for us, we're like, hey, if you're like a little shy, this social media, you know, and so we challenge some of these people, hey, use social media. And so we do like the workshops, we go to the churches. And then the resources for believers, we work with YouVersion. Anyone here have the Bible app? So we work with them. If you research Spikenard, I don't know if we have the name on here, but we have YouVersion devotionals, prayer guides, and they can be translated to different languages. So we raise funds. Some of the funds you guys are going to, you know, I don't know if we get something, but but some of the funds we use, we take them and we put them on YouVersion, translate some of the devotionals, because like YouVersion helps us to go everywhere. Because YouVersion already works with Bible translators, because we're not Bible translators, but all the Bibles that you guys use, imagine like YouVersion has already, you know, there's bigger donors, you know, the billion donors, you know. I don't know if there's any billion donors in here, but they're out there, okay? So those people, they've already worked with YouVersion, the Bible app. Because the Bible app was one of the first apps in 2008, 2009, when, you know, Apple announced that, hey, we're going to announce applications on this app. And the Bible app was one of the first ones, and it was free. So it's one of the top, I think, five apps in the world. So even in India, all over the world, it's been such a blessing for us. They don't pay us, but they say, hey, you can use our platform for free. So we're able to translate their content, and then we are able to go to a village and say, because all of them have cell phones. I don't know how. They might not have a house, but they have a cell phone. Okay, like it's crazy, all right? I mean, you guys who maybe have worked in urban ministry or some of like, you know, poor people, like they have nicer stuff than you, okay? But their house is like just broken. You know, they have a Cadillac, you know, and you're like, well, I can't even afford that. But I'm here giving you food. So you're like confused. But anyways, I go back. So these people in these villages in India, all of them have phones. They have phones. So we take the YouVersion Bible app, we help them put it on their phones, and they download it, and then they're able to engage with the Word of God. Okay, so that's like part of like our strategy. And so the next, yeah, sorry, I should have said page. Yeah, if you are wanting to like partner with us or like learn more about it, visit our table. It's really, I mean, it's your table, you know. It's your table. We're using it. It's not our table. So if you guys go out there and you're looking for our table, you might not find it. But it's as you go out, it's your table. It's right there. And you guys go to the next slide page. You can just Yeah, pray for us. You have like the prayer guide. You can pray with us. Connect with us. You know, get, you know, you guys all have a pamphlet. Don't throw that in the trash. Keep it at least a week, okay? Make us feel good. You know, the worst thing is like when you walk out and you look in the trash and someone already, like, you're like, man, just take it for a week, okay? Throw it away next week's trash. Okay, don't throw it in the trash in the church, because, you know, when they're cleaning, like, oh, man, the people didn't really buy this vision. So take a week to even look at it. You don't even have to pray. Just look at it. Maybe God will speak, you know? So pray for us. Give or, like, come visit, okay? The Justins are like, nah, I don't know. It's too hot. Okay. Even my missionary director in Denver, our missions organization, he's like, it's 130 degrees. The mosquitoes are how big? Hey, man, I'll support a translation, okay? That's how I'm going to serve missions. I'm going to give. I'm not going to India. But for real, if you are the adventurous type, come out. Come visit us. You know, and our heart is to connect with this church, to hopefully become friends, and we can come here yearly and just build relationships, and you guys can really see how you can make impact across the globe. Amen? And so go to the other slides with the picture. I'm going to just, you could go to the next one. This is just like our guys. You guys do not know anyone here. Actually, Alicia's on here. You guys are like, it's just brown faces. Like, what do I do with this? I don't know anyone. So that's, yeah, man. India is so funny, guys. There's people who are darker than me, and there's people who are whiter than you. Okay? So it's such a confusing, because the people who live close to China, they look like Chinese. These people who live in the Northeast, the Punjabi, they look literally like you guys, even whiter than you, you know? And then you have people in the South, in Tamil Nadu, they are darker than me. I have a guy, this guy right here is darker than me. It's crazy. I always make fun of him, you know? I'm like, I'm from Africa and you're darker than me. What happened there? Okay, but it's hot. It's 130 degrees. I don't know what happened. But also, I have a white family, you know? I just stayed a little longer than Seth, so. But next, you could go to the next slide. Oh, no, the other pictures. Because all that, I shared all that because, like, I want to inspire you guys that, honestly, ministry and serving people and loving people and blessing people, it's honestly not that crazy. And the reason I had my wife even share that story is because, you can go to the next slide. Is because you can honestly make a difference. Just like Joy, her Aunt Joy invited her to church. If you just say today, I'm going to make my ambition to make a difference in one person's life. So go two slides over, the one with me and the boys and Dennis. No, the one before, slide two, I think. So I came, I think I was like 12 years old there, 12, 13 years old. You know, Dennis and Connie, like, they took me in, and I just think it was just some kid from Burundi, Africa. I come from one of the poorest countries. I did not know anything. I mean, there's so many stories I'm sure Dennis will tell you in a more comedic way. But, you know, I'm sure they had some fears, right? But they took me in. They already had two boys, you know. They were just pastoring a small church, and I'm sure they didn't make that much money, but whether it's finances, whether it's fear, you know, because I was talking to one of my friends who's a missionary, and he said, man, you know, if I ask my mom to even let one of my friends who come and stay in our guest bedroom, she's always worried, like, what if they steal from us? What if they do this? What if they do this, right? So they never host anyone. They never take anyone in, right? Because, like, the mom, like, his mom is always, like, afraid of what people might do to them. Like, I don't know what fears, and we've never talked about this. I'm just sharing, because now that I've grown up, you know, they don't know how I was gonna turn out, but they said yes to me, right? They don't know, they didn't invest in me as like a, hey, we know this one's a good one. You know what, they didn't have like a, you know, like Africa lottery, you know? It's like the numbers on this one, huh? Hey, like, there's like a slide, you know, oh, nope, oh, that one. You know what I mean? That fat little one. So the thing is, there's no such thing. Like, they took a chance, man. Like, I don't know if the Lord spoke to them. I've never even asked them. I don't know why they said yes. Because think about it, it's crazy. It's anointed now and we know how he turned out. You know what I mean? Because I made a good decision to marry Alicia. You're like, whoa, he did good for himself. Okay? But you don't know. Like, you don't know. And that's, to me, coming back to this church, it's like such a full circle moment that Seth is in this room. And he's that one, man, he was crazy as a young kid, running off everything. But they didn't know how I was going to impact their family, how I was going to impact their sons. Right? They didn't know how much food I was going to eat. And I ate a lot. Right? And I remember annoying them so much because I thought I was going to be in the NBA. Okay? I was chubby. I could not shoot to save my life. I couldn't even make a layup. But I was convinced I'm going to the NBA. So, like, they had to sit there with me. Sit there with me and coach me and disciple me. Right? They gave me the things. I am a preacher now because I saw it exemplified in that home. Right? I ran cross country in college. In one of the top NAIA schools, I'm chubby now. Some of you are like, I don't know, man. But I did run at one point, okay? I was 155 when I graduated high school. I'm like, let's not say that, you know? But I'm a little bit bigger. You know, I could eat that one, you know? But, yeah, like, I did a lot of things because I would see Connie, she would run everywhere. I mean, she was, like, in the morning just running everywhere. So I was like, oh, I could do that. So I became a lot of things that I saw exemplified in that home. I love to cook because I saw them cook. Like, I saw how men could cook. Because in Africa, men don't cook. Dennis was the first man. I was like, men cook. You know what I mean? Like, you know, I grew up in a traditional home where a man does not see the kitchen. It's like, hey, woman. You know, sandwich. So, to me, like, their life was an example to me. And I'm just, like, trying to break it down to you guys that missions or loving people, or blessing people doesn't have to be rocket science. But the bad thing is they do copy your bad and the good. You know, so some of you are like, you know what, I need to get myself right because I don't know what I'm going to be an example to someone. But, you know, like I'm sitting here about probably 20, 25 years ago and I didn't, you know what I mean? I didn't know what the future was holding and they said yes to me. Go to the next slide, do the scripture one. So I just want to give you this scripture. It's 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, anyone, right? It's not whatever race, how poor, how rich. If anyone, that means me and you, right? Father, mother, single, no, I don't know. Whatever exclusion you might have is if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Right? When you become a believer, you have the newness of life in you. Right? Like I said, some of you might be scared. Man, I would be a bad example. I would not want to bring someone in my house. I have anxiety. I have this. Honestly, some of you are like, I do not like my stuff touched. Okay? Some of you are like, man, I don't like people. Okay? Dude, I understand. Okay? I understand. So, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And that's, I want to leave that with you. To actually believe that scripture, that if you're in Christ, truly in Christ, your old you is gone. And even today, as we pray, God can make you new. Like you can say, God, there's places in my heart where I'm so afraid I couldn't make a difference. You know, and I don't know what they had to go through to take me in. Because I wasn't an American. I didn't know the culture. I didn't know anything. They were in their 20s. You know, like, they took me in. I'm older than what they were when they took me in. So they had a lot of fears, I'm sure. But if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed, right? The old fears, the old ways, they've all passed. They pass with you. You have to believe that. And I believe that. And this is what I teach people when I go overseas, when we do missions. Because they showed it to me, I'm able to show it. All things have become new. All things. Not just some things, but all things. And I want to give hope to anyone in here who might not even be a believer or someone who's, you know, maybe you came to church today, you're like, I'm going to taste and see, you know. Like I hear there's a church there. I just want to say, today there's hope for you to become a new creation, for all things to become new. Old addictions, old fears, anxieties, you can't sleep. God is still in the business of doing miracles. Amen? And I'm here to give you hope. You know, because like I am happy and I make, you know, I crack jokes like Dennis because that's how I grew up in it. You know what I mean? I was like, oh, this is how you do it. You know, like I became a, you know, there's a scripture in Luke, I believe Luke 6:44, it says, a student when fully grown, he'll become just like his master. So the thing is, so literally whenever I would, people would want me to like mentor them or disciple them, I was like, do you want to become like me? Because honestly, if you hang out with me too much, you'll speak like me, you'll eat like me, you'll do, you know, you might become chubby, you know what I mean? So the thing is, you know, I became a lot like them. Like I said, you know, I took on running. I wasn't calling you chubby, okay? I just got that. That was for free. But all things have become new, okay? And then the next slide. And that word new is kainos, okay? And what it means, like when you just break down, because what is new? What does it mean for you to become a new creation? For all things to become new. It's of a new kind, unprecedented, novel, uncommon, unheard of. And just like unheard of. I just want to stay there and just like that you guys would just like take that. To be a Christian in this city of hope is to be uncommon. What they did for me was uncommon. And what we're doing is uncommon. I mean, her mom is still mad at her for doing missions. We have to be an uncommon people, right? See, it's, you know why it's easy for me to do missions? Because they exemplified it for me. Like your pastor who pastors you every day took a step, right? You know, they were young, but they took a step for me. And I look at you guys now, I'm like, man, I don't know why you did it. I didn't pay them. I did not give them any money. I didn't pay them. I took their food. I took a long shower. I mean, Connie had a word about that. It's like, hey, Steven, you can't be. Dude, okay, I'll say this one thing to close. Dennis, you can come up. But the thing is, Connie said, hey, make yourself at home. It's like that thing Americans say. I was like, all right. Dude. Milk for us came from a cow. You know what I mean? You had to work hard for milk. I was like, oh, milk coming jugs here. You know, and you go to a big building and you can get milk. I was like, thank the Lord. I'm not buying, dude, I was drinking a lot of milk. And I remember Connie being like, hey, man, you need to slow down with that. You know, you're not that welcome. You know what I mean? Like, make yourself at home. But, dude, milk is expensive. You know what I mean? But all that to say is uncommon. Like for them, they're my uncommon. And I have so many stories I could share, but I just wanted to show you guys that they took a step to be uncommon. Like the Bible says, if you're a Christian, if you're someone who loves Jesus, you're gonna be unheard of. Because like the world is thinking with anxiety, with selfishness, with all these things. Hey, they don't look like me. Hey, black people are dangerous. Hey, you know, he's from Africa. He might steal from you. I don't know. I don't know what their family said. I don't know what their grandparents said. But all I know is that they maybe shut their ear to somebody. They might have like had conversations that I didn't know. They might have protected me because I don't know all those things. But they said yes to this little black boy from Burundi, Africa. And they brought him in. And because of them taking me in, I'm able to do what I'm doing. And I truly believe everything that I'm doing now, I would not be doing missions. I never would have met my wife. I never would have done all these things if they didn't say yes. So it would be a miss for me to come on my first Sunday and not acknowledge that I'm literally standing here because of the sacrifice of someone who went before me. You know, so the things that he, you know, that bless, beseech, listen, engage, serve, speak. I mean, it's not in the Bible, but you know what I'm saying? Like, it's his thing. You know what I mean? Like, he came up with that. But he really lived it. What I want to say, he's not fake. Like, he really lived it with me. The Chastains really lived that with me. Right? They chose to bless me. They chose to pray with me. They chose to listen to me. No, honestly, like, they would give me all kinds of food. Like, they really I remember Connie being like, hey, what do you like to eat? And she tried to learn how to make certain foods. And man, there's so much. They really loved me well, you know. They trusted me with their sons. We would go walking around town, you know. I thought I was going to be a skateboarder. But all that to say, you know, all the messiness, they said yes. You know, so the question I just want to leave you with today is, you know, will you pray about becoming uncommon again? That Christians in this city will be known as uncommon, the ones who take in the poor, the ones who give generously, the ones who actually do something about the world around us. At your workplace, instead of like cursing everyone off, instead of being angry like everybody else, will you be a light? Because you might just change one person. I know they've impacted so many other people, but they did to me. I'm like, man, I'm forever grateful. And I'm here as an example to say, you might just change one person that changes so many people. There's so many people I've impacted that they don't know. But in heaven, they will know. So today, you know, I just want to pray for you guys. If you guys could just stand, and Dennis, you could come up. I just want to, yeah, you could just close it and share.
Yeah.
Okay.
Good, good.
Yeah. Stephen was at 11 years of age at nighttime being escorted through a jungle he didn't know, that people he had never met were chasing him to kill him. Went to Kenya and lived among refugees, and by the grace of God ended up in our home. Isn't that amazing? Do you think that's amazing? And then by the grace of God, meets a girl from Illinois in India. Come on. And literally thousands of people are affected with the gospel because of that. Doesn't that make you just go, God is like big and strong and amazing? And so for us as a church, and we're going to let her worship just because we like to hear her worship. We're going to sing one more song. But just as a church, we want to be as efficient and as responsible with the gospel as we can be. Amen. So we're going to let them worship. And then if you need prayer, you can come down. We'll pray. Father, we thank you for your goodness toward us. It is amazing to stand in the midst of your presence, knowing that nothing's impossible with you, and that there's no one that's too far gone, and there's no circumstance that's too bad. And I can just see it right here today, that your grace can't reach that place. And so we pray, would you just pour out your amazing grace in abundance among us as we worship you now, in Jesus' name. Amen.